Okay. We're going to start today with Perek Lamed Vav. And last week we were talking about, we pretty much found exactly where religion and politics clashed. We talked about the false prophets and everything. Today we're going to take a step back and we're going to try and figure out how Sefer Yirmiyahu came about. Here's presenter mode. Okay, good. I got a feeling that my bandwidth isn't good enough for presenter mode. I'm going to work without it. We're going to read from Yirmiyahu, and I'm not clear. I'm not sure how good the bandwidth is. So if I'm clear, everyone has a source sheet, I hope. Okay. But we're going to get us a start. Any questions? Either talk them in, or I'll look at the chat. Okay. Turn my mic lower. But I can turn down my mic. Okay. Yeah, please tell me that. Bend the, okay, how about now? Testing 1, 2? Is that better? Good? No, okay. Okay. I didn't see it. Okay. Everyone on? We're going to begin with Perek Lamed Vav. And, we'll read a little bit. Here, again, before we begin, in A, just review the time. Everyone knows the years. Yoshiah was the first king, 18 years. Things were good. They baked the big Megillah. Today we're going to begin with Yehoiakim again, but he reigned for 11 years. We're going to be talking about the fourth year of Yehoiakim, exactly the year that Nebuchadnezzar begins his conquest of the Middle East. 5-6 years later, Nebuchadnezzar takes over Babel, and then later we'll get back to Tzidkiyahu today, like we talked about last week. Okay. Let's begin with Perek Lamed Vav. We'll read carefully. By Yibishana Harviit, Lokim ben Yoshiah Melech Yehuda, Hayad Avar Azel Yirmiyahu Meit Hashem Nemor. Kach Lacha Megillat Sefer, V'Ketavta Leed Chod Bren Asher Dibati, Al Kol Agoyim Yom Dibati Lecha Vimei Yoshiah Vad Hayom Azeh, Ulvai Yishmu Beit Yehuda, V'Tarat Asher Anokhi Choshev Lassot Lahem, V'Man Yeshuv Ish Midarko Hara'a, V'Salach Lavonam Lechatotam. I'm bringing this parak because we say Yirmiyahu had trouble figuring out what's going on in the book. What's the book about? I think I lost my picture again, didn't I? Okay, I just went without the picture. I don't see my own picture, but I guess it's okay. Even better. okay, good. I mean, that's not good. Anyone who ever looked at Yirmiyahu knows the book is very choppy. You know, it runs from, you know, remember we started Perek Zayin, we moved to Perek Chava, we went to Perek Lamed, it's just over the place. And if I want to go in chronological order, I almost have to do that. But I'm going to try to think how the book came about. Based in the beginning of Perek Lamed Vav, it seems that that God tells Yirmiyahu, it's time to publish. He's been speaking since the early years of Yoshiel. He tells him it's time to publish your time to publish all your works. So he says everything you've said since the 13th year of Yoshiel up until this day, which is the 4th year of Yehoiakim, it's time to publish. And okay, we're back on again. I just fixed it. No, we lost it again. Something's wrong with my camera. I'm going to give up on it. Something happened in the 4th year of Yehoiakim where God tells Yirmiyahu it's time to put everything in writing. And he tells, take a Megillah and write a Megillah and read it in public. So let's pick up what happens after he writes down this Megillah in public. Pasuk Dalet. Vayikra Yirmiyahu Baruch Ben Neriah, Vayechtov Baruch B'Pi Yirmiyahu Kol Divrei Hashem Asher Dibrei Eliyahu Al Megillat Sefer. Vayitzavet Yirmiyahu Baruch Lemor. Ani Yatzur Lo Uchal Lavo Beit Hashem, Ubat Ata Vakrat Megillah Asher Katavtem B'Pi Et Divrei Hashem Bozenei Ha'am Beit Hashem Biyom Tzom. Ulai bosnek vegam bosnek ko yuda bainarim tikraim. Ulai tipot chinatam bifnei Hashem. Yeshuv ish midako hara ki gadol af achima asher dibar Hashem alam hazeh. Beetrof benerek asher tivah o Yirmiyahu Navi liklo besefer dibar Hashem beit Hashem. In a nutshell, what's happening is as follows. Yirmiyahu is not in house arrest, but he's in hiding. Remember the first shir in Perek Zayin where he makes his prediction that the Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. He has to go into hiding because they put him on trial, and he saved at the last minute. He's still in hiding, but God's angry again. He says there's a bigger punishment coming. and he tells you, Miel, one last chance for the people to do tshuva. There's going to be a certain point of no return, which would be critical to Yirmiyahu's nevuah, where up until the fourth year of Yirmiyahu, up until the fourth year of Yehoyakim, it still could have been redemption. It could have been, they could have stopped the, you know, Babel coming, they could have been back to the sovereignty, things could have continued, they just needed to do proper tshuva. And Yoshua was going in the right direction. Now Yehoyakim switches direction, goes back to the ways of Menashe. God's given one last chance to get your act together. What's he doing? He's going to publish a book, this big Megillah, and he's going to read it in public. Now, notice what God tells Yirmiyahu to do, or what Yirmiyahu tells Baruch to do, to read the book on a fast day. Now, in the time of Yirmiyahu, in the fourth year of Yehoyakim, how many Jewish fast days are there? Anybody know? How many God tells Yirmiyahu to read it on a fast day. How many Jewish fast days are there? Okay, there's Yom Kippur. Right? That's it. Yom Kippur. The four fast days to Shem didn't exist yet. The Beis Hamikdash wasn't destroyed yet. But the truth is, if you don't miss Masechet Ta'anit, there are other fast days. Now, who knows? When else do we fast according to Jewish law? Almost no. Right? Well, exactly. In rain. And what rain, what month do we start fasting when there's no rain? If you don't miss Masechet Ta'anit, it's not supposed to rain in Tishrei. Or for, you know, the personal fast, that's right. That's right. In Cheshvan, we ask for rain, but if we don't start fasting yet. We don't start fasting until Kislev, which is what, Hebrew month? The ninth month. Look again in your meal. Now look at the next line in your meal. Pasuk Tet. Vayhi b'shana ha-chamishit lo-Yehoyakim ben Yoshiya melech Yehuda, v'chodesh ha-tshi'i, k'rotzom lifnei Hashem kol ha'am b'Yerushalayim v'chol ha'am b'abayim b'Yehoyakim ben Yehuda b'Yerushalayim. Now, why is that so important? Okay? It's so important that this is going to be book is going to be read on a fast day. But what kind of fast day? In the Beit HaMikdash, people coming to daven on a fast day for rain. What does that show you about how religious the people are? I'm trying to make this point over and over again, that when you read Yirmiyahu, it looks like they're all worshipping idols, they're worshipping Baal, who knows what they're worshipping. It sounds like they're all totally irreligious. And when you look at the reality of the situation, you see they're regular showgoers. Right? They're in the Beit HaMikdash, they're making a fast day for rain, and that's when God told Yirmiyahu to go at that public fast in the Beit HaMikdash to go and read this book. Now let's see what happens when he reads the book. We're now in Perek Lamed Vav in Pasuk Yud. Vayikra Baruch HaSefer Divrei Yirmiyahu Beit Hashem Vishkat Gemariyahu Ben Shafan HaSofer Bechatzer Yon Betachshir Beit Hashem. And then Vishman Yichayel Ben Gemariyahu Ben Shafan Kod Divrei Hashem Yirmiyahu Sefer. Right, Beit HaMelech, in a nutshell, we'll cut out all the names. We'll go to Pasuk Yedalet in a second. Let me just explain what happened. Yirmiyahu reads this in public, and it starts a big commotion. Some politicians are in the Beit HaMikdash, they see what's going on. Right away, they run to a government meeting that's taking place nearby, and they report and say there's a commotion going on. The politicians need to get involved. Let's pick up that with Pasuk Yedalet. By Shukul Asarim El Baruch Et Yehudi Ben Netanya Ben Shamayo Lemor Hamgila Asher Karata Ba Bozney Ha'am Kechen Ebiyatcha Balech Vekach Baruch Veneri Et Hamgila Biyadov Yevo Alehem. Basically they tell him, take it away and bring it to us in the government. We want to censor this. We want to see what you're talking about. Now, why are the people in the government so worried and so nervous about Yirmiyahu giving some mitzvah in the Beit HaMikdash? What's so terrible? So he's giving a speech in shul. What's so bad? That we have to see. Pasuk Tetvav. Very much love. Shef po v'krena bazneinu. Says, read it to us before we read it out, and we're going to censor it. Vayikru baruch bazneihem. Vayikru shamam et kol et borim pachadu ish areyu v'yemru o baruch ben an. Negid lamelech et et borim ha'ele. Should we tell the king all these things that you're saying? And the baruch, they ask questions follows. Hagedna, ekret afta. Is this you making up, or is this from Yirmiyahu? And what's he tell him? Vayim alhem buruch mipi v'kray elai. It's called Vayim ha'ela, v'ani kotev ha'sefer v'diyo. That's interesting. From Pasuk Yudchet, we're doing tons and tons of halachot about how to write a Sefer Torah. Now that they're sure, now that the people are sure that this is Yirmiyahu's words. Remember, Yirmiyahu used to be, 4 or 5 years earlier, he was the Navi. Now he's in hiding, but he still has a lot of credibility. They're really scared. And now, what do we tell the king about what's going to happen? And the ministers say, okay, we've got to tell the king. Watch what happens now. Let's pick up from Pasuk Yotzeh. Remember, Yirmiyahu and Baruch still have some insiders in the government who still they're still friendly with from Yoyakim says. They tell him, listen, we know the situation here in the government, go get lost. Okay? And these guys ate for them. No one should know where you are. Basically they smell what's gonna about to happen. He says, for your own sake, get out of here. Okay. Now שלח המלך את יהודי לקח את המגילה והתייחל משקת הלשמה הסופר והקרא יהודי בזני המלך ובזני כל הסורים עומדים מעל המלך. Therefore they bring someone the book to the king and this guy יהודי reads the מגילה in front of the king. והמלך יושב בית החורף בחודש התשיעי וטעח לפניו מובר. Remember, it's the winter, rainy season, it's cold, the king has a warm palace, it's called בית החורף, it's a winter palace which is warmer and the furnace is burning. That's important for the story because this furnace is going to be used to burn something in a minute. Okay. We're going to continue with Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Vahiki kro Yehudi shalosh latot v'arba. When Yehudi, that's the guy's name, okay, would read 3 lines or 4 of this Megillah that Yirmiyahu wrote, Yikre'ehu v'tar ha-sofer v'ashlech el ha'esh asher la'ach v'atom kol ha-megillah al ha'esh asher la'ach. What did he do? Line by line, or piece by piece, as they would read this Megillah in front of the king. The king took the Megillah, took a little shaving knife, a little razor blade, cut it after it was read, and threw it right into the fire. Look at Pasuk Chavdalet. V'lo pachadu v'lo kruut zigdehem ha'melech v'chol v'dav ha'shamim et kol dvarim eila. From what the Navi says they didn't do, we can understand what Yirmiyahu expected them to do. Yirmiyahu expected them, after hearing this, that, oh, this should scare them, this should wake them up, this should be the final call, maybe they'll hear this and maybe they'll turn around and they'll make a policy decision, they'll change something. No, but instead, they say, oh, no good. By burning it, they had the exact opposite reaction. If you remember, in the time of Yoshea, when they found them the Sefer Torah, exactly there it says that everyone was mafached, everyone became fearful, they were Korea Begadim, they turned Korea, they started fasting, complaining, they did the whole big Shuvah movement. And that's what Yirmiyahu was hoping would happen again. Here it doesn't happen. Instead, the exact opposite takes place. No. Pasuk Chafei. V'gam Yochanan v'dayu g'mayu v'skiu v'melech l'batisof et ha-megillah v'shomah lehem. V'atav ha-melech yorachmeu v'melech v'tzrayu v'tazayu and all these people. L'chach baruch ha-sofer Yirmiyahu v'yisrei Hashem. Basically, the king doesn't want to hear from it at all. He burns it. And he says, I want Yirmiyahu. I want the people who wrote this burnt as well. He wants Yirmiyahu and Baruch in jail or maybe even killed. And luckily God helps them get saved. The question we have to ask is, what was so bad about what Yirmiyahu is writing? What's in there? I understand the king doesn't like what he's saying, that's accepted. But why does he want to kill them for this? Why does he want to throw them in jail? Why does he want to burn it? And why can't it be read? What's so terrible about these words of Yirmiyahu that causes them to get so angry? The answer is going to be coming up in a minute. Pasuk Zayin. Vayid v'ashtem yirmiyahu achrei tzof ha-melech et ha-megillah et ha-dvarim asher ketab Baruch b'tzur yom ha-lemor shuv kach lecha megillah acheret uktov aleha et kol ha-dvarim ha-rishonim asher yoha ha-megillah ha-rishona asher sraf yoyakim melech Yehuda. Now what do you do? Publish again. Second edition. Now, you understand what's going to happen? This second edition, this second edition is simply going to be the first version of Sefer Yirmiyahu. When God tells Yirmiyahu, republish your book, it's going to be the first edition of what we have of Yirmiyahu. We're going to try to find this in the book of Yirmiyahu, what was burnt and reprinted. But we have to explain, when Yirmiyahu writes it another time, what's he going to do to make sure the king doesn't burn it again? But now the Navi is going to explain why Yoyakim burnt the book. Listen carefully. Again, our question was, why the king, why is everyone so angry for what was read? Pasuk Chafet. Va Yoyakim Melech Yehuda Tomar. Komar Hashem. This is what God supposed to tell Yehoiakim about what he did. Here's what God says. You burnt this Megillah, and as you burnt it, what did you say? You predicted in this Megillah that Melech Bazar is going to come and destroy the land and get rid of everything. Because of that, he's finished. Basically, God says Yehoiakim is, it's finished. We're going to return to these psukim in a minute. Look at Pasuk Lamed Bet. V'yemiyo lakach migila acheret v'itnao boruch v'neri ha-sofer v'ektov lemi Peter Miel et kol divrei sefer shasrat Yehoiakim melech Yehuda ba'esh v'od nosaf aleihem dvarim rabim kahima. What does Yehoiakim do? He publishes another book, and not only this original book, this original Megillah, but a lot of other things are added to it. So Perek Lamed Vav is going to be what's called in Hebrew a Sipur Misgeret. It's a story that tells you how the book first came about. The original book of Yirmiyahu was just everything he wrote from the beginning, from the 13th year of Yoshia until the 4th year of Yehoiakim. And then, from now on, he's going to add on it, like piece by piece, more and more sections are going to be added to the book. If you look in Sefer Yirmiyahu, if you have a regular staff in front of you, you'll notice that after Perek Lamed Vav, beginning of Perek Lamed Zayin, you basically have looks like Sefer Melachim again. You have the story of the Churban. It's real easy to read, easiest parts there are, nice simple Hebrew. In a nutshell, it's the story of the Churban, of how Yirmiyahu's predictions came true. Beforehand, up until Perek Lamed Vav, all the tochachot, all the rebuke that Yirmiyahu gives. After, from Lamed Zayin to Mem Hei, is all this historical section, and then from Mem Vav till almost to the end is Nevot on other nations, that also a separate unit. But from a thematic point of view, Perek Lamed Vav ends the book. The book's basically over, and then we have an appendix, an historical appendix, and then another appendix of the Nevot about the other nations. Now let's go back to what happened here. Who understands why Yehoiakim burnt the book? Anyone want to try and explain why? Based on what we saw? Why is Yehoiakim so angry? What's in this book that Yehoiakim hears? What caused all the political people to hear, to see the commotion and say, get out of there? How come they say we have to censor this? How come the king burns it? But according to what we saw in Yirmiyahu, what was the main thing, what was the main reason that the king's so angry? Anybody know this? What do you mean by he's the political authority? Okay, it does, but what point does that start in the people? Which prediction? Someone's on the mic part, I think. Did you see what prediction caused him to do it? Yeah. Okay, exactly. But his prediction that Babel's going to come and take over the city, that's exactly what he says. He's going to destroy the city. Okay? That's exactly the point. If Yirmiyahu says, you know, be nicer to the poor, be nicer to be kind, and things like that, you know, that's fine. But when Yirmiyahu says Babel's going to come and take over, and the whole approach is, remember, they could have given in when they could have given in to Babel in the beginning, before this whole Nevuah happened in the 4th and 5th year. God's telling them, don't rebel against Babel, we'll accept them. Again, they don't accept it. And it's exactly that point where this is the parak that proves this clash between politics and religion, that once Yirmiyahu is branded as being pro-Babylonian, anything he says pretty much gets thrown out. That's why they want to kill him. And he can give the biggest mussar about doing tshuva, being kind to the poor and the needy, and being better people, and keeping mitzvot better, and keeping Shabbat, and freeing slaves. All the things that come up later on, it all falls on deaf ears, because when they see Yirmiyahu, all they say, yeah, here's that leftist, we won't go to a shir, we won't listen to him. Now, I want to do, we're going to skip now, to Tikkio, and let me explain why. What I tried to show you in the 4th year of Yehoiakim, this was the one last chance for people to do tshuva before the Gzar Din. After this event, God says, that's it, no matter what you do, Babel's coming in and taking over. Now, once Babel comes and takes over, again, there does have to be Churban of the Beit HaMikdash. Is that the Galut? Who goes into Galut? The aristocracy goes into exile. The leadership, the king, the family, etc. But the poor people, the regular people, are left behind. And the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. And Tzidkiyahu is put in charge. Now, after Tzidkiyahu is put in charge, we're in a situation where, technically speaking, nothing has to change. Meaning, the king went into Galut. The big question is going to be now, where are the future of the Jewish people? Are the future of the Jewish people still in Yerushalayim, they're just without sovereignty for the next 70 years? Or, and the people went to Galut, to Bavel, you know, maybe they will come back, maybe they won't, but the center is going to be in Yerushalayim. Or is the center really moving to, as we said before, I think Brooklyn or to Bavel? In Yemei Chav David, which we're going to read next, we're going to have an amazing nevuah, which is going to turn the tide. Later we have to see what year this took place. So listen to this nevuah that Yirmiyahu says, and you'll see again why the people get so angry. We're now in source C. Where's the future of Jewish people, or what's called, and why are you the center of the Jewish future? CJF. Okay. Yirmiyahu Perach of Dalad. I want to hear Yirmiyahu of Tazi Avetach and source C on the source sheet from today. Yirani Hashem, Vinei Shnei Dudai Tanim. Yirmiyahu has a vision, and there are two baskets of Tanim or figs. Mu'adim Nifnei Chal Hashem. In front of the Beit HaMikdash, he says, it's a vision of two big baskets of figs. After Galut Yehuda. Look in Pasuk Bet. Hadur Echad Tanim Tovot Mod, Ketanei Abakurot, Vadur Echad Tanim Ra'ot Mod, Asher Lo Tefanu Miroa. One really good, nice Tanim, like you get in a Shalach Manos bag from someone rich. And the other tanim, like, you know, junky fruit left over from the yeshiva lunch. Okay? Basically, one nice bag of nice figs, another bag of lousy figs. What do they mean? V'yomer Hashem Elai, Pasuk Gimel, Mata Re'yirmiyahu, V'omar, Tanim HaTanim, Tovot Mod, V'ro'ot Ro'ot Mod, Asher Lo Tachanu Miroa. So what do you see? And as usual, Yirmiyahu always says, he sees what he sees. One basket of good figs, one bad figs. Anybody want to guess what's going to be? Guess what the good figs are and the bad figs? Okay, I guess we'll just read it. Yeah? Huh? In Galut. Pretty much, yeah, and that in Jerusalem, exactly. Okay? But Pasuk Dalet, Vayidvar Hashem Elai, Lemor Kol Amar Hashem Elai Yisrael, Katini Metavot Eile, Kein Akir Et Galut Yehuda, Asher Shelachti, Min HaMakom Hazeh, Vesamti Einai Eleim Letova, Vashivotim Al Haaretz Hazot, Vinitim Velo Haeros, Ventatim Velo Etosh. Patsi Lehem Leiv Ladat Oti, Ki Ani Hashem, Ayub Lila'am, Vanochim El Elohim, Yeshuva Elai Bechol Libam. Okay? The future of the Jewish people, Yirmiyahu is saying, is in Bavel. I'll keep my eye on them. Hope they'll tshuva, they'll come to know me, they'll follow my laws, and they'll be defending mitzvot. And those remaining in Yerushalayim, Ketim Arot, Asher Lo Techan Mira, Yichol Ma'ashem Ken Eteni Tzitiyah Melech Yehuda Vetzarah Vetzarit Yerushalayim Anishet Barat Hazot Hoshim Beretz Mitzrayim, etc., etc. Basically, in Perach Avdalad, you see what happens? Yirmiyahu decides the future is now. It didn't have to be that way in the beginning. Only after Tzidkiyahu in the fourth year decides to rebel, and that's what we talked about last week that the first 4 years of Tzidkiyahu before the rebel, everything could remain the way it was. No one had to go anywhere. And now they need, now the cast is, what's it, the cast is set, or the cast something, the poor people, the, there's a saying, the lot has been fallen, or has fallen, and it's over. And now it's only a matter of time that Yerushalayim is destroyed. And exactly here, when Yechezkel, this year, that's when Yechezkel sees the Shekhinah leaving. Yirmiyahu sees these baskets of figs. Yechezkel sees, in the same idea, sees the Shekhinah leaving Yerushalayim and going to Bavel. Now, if you know Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed Bet, and Lamed Gimel, it's a Haftarah from Parsha Bahar. Remember that story where Yirmiyahu has to buy a field? Anyone remember that story? Where God tells Yirmiyahu to go buy a field from, you know, that no one wants to buy? Okay? It's a famous story. People say, what's going on here? You know, and remember, what people don't realize, they think the Churban, and that's it, it's finished. The truth is, after Tzidkiyahu goes into Galut, so it could be a nice big Jewish presence in Yerushalayim. This is what happened after Churban Beit HaMikdash and Beit Sheni. The Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, but there's still lots of Jews living in Yehuda. And so the Barakoch will revolt, and messed everything up again. But the same thing here, there didn't have to be total Churban of Israel. It could have been there was still value to fields, etc. We get to Perek Lamed Bet, hopefully. We'll talk about that much more in detail. So that's the setting of the message wrote Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel to Bavel, you guys are the future. Now, in light of that, you have to pick up right where we left off last week. When Yirmiyahu sends this letter to Bavel, we said that last week in Perek Chavtet, Yirmiyahu sends a letter to Bavel and tells the people, build houses, settle down, you guys are the future, but don't expect to come back anytime soon, but don't think the God's left you, you're going to be the next, you're going to be the continuity of the Jewish people. The people in Bavel don't like this because they want to go back soon. We're going to listen to a letter, exchange of letters that took place between the people in Bavel and Yirmiyahu. Take a look in Source D. I call the prophet's fight back. Skip right to Pasuk Chaf Dalet. The Chaf Aleph to Chaf, I think we saw last week, but I mean to Chaf Gimel. We're going to pick up with Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Everyone have it? Okay. Pasuk Chaf Dalet. This is going to be a discussion between Yirmiyahu Perek. What's Perek? That's a good question. Perek Chaf Tet. I'm sorry. Perek Chaf Tet. Yeah. Source D on the source sheet. Yirmiyahu Perek Chaf Tet, chapter 29, Pasuk Chaf Dalet. This was the Perek in the beginning of Perek Chaf Tet. In the beginning of Perek Chaf Tet, Yirmiyahu sent a letter to Bavel telling the people to build houses, settle down, get married, plant trees, because it's going to be a long haul till you come back. Listen to what happens. I don't think we did this last week. Let me make sure we understand it. He says, this is Yirmiyahu answering this letter. Okay. Here's a message for Shmaya. See his name? Who can explain to me what's the meaning of Shmaya's name? What's his last name about? What kind of Jewish name is that? Anechlami. Anyone figure it out? Why is Shmaya called Hanechlami? I think, yeah. From what? From Nehalam? From? No, it's not from Nechalam, exactly, from dreaming. He's a dreamer. Remember the false prophets, they're all dreaming, hoping? Because you're a dreamer, Shmaya. Shmaya was hoping the Jewish people coming back within a year or two. He says, you're a dreamer. Now, and he was a big prophet, he was a part of the establishment. Listen to what he says. What happened? Kol Marashem Tzvot Elohi Yisrael Limor. Yan Asher Atah Shalachta B'Shimcha Tzvarim, you, Shmaya, sent a letter from Bavel, in your own name, to the people in Yerushalayim. El Kol HaMashav Yerushalayim. Just like Yirmiyahu was sending letters to Bavel, tell people what to do, Shmaya is sending letters from Bavel to the Yerushalayim and tell them what to do. Listen to the letter that Shmaya sent. Okay? The Tzvanya, the Kohen, and all the Kohenim. But Tzvanya ben Maseo HaKohen, the Kohen Limor. Pasuk Chafav, this is the letter. Hashem netancha kohen, tachat Yehoyada kohen. He told Tzvanya, said Tzvanya, listen, you got a new job. Why? Because Yehoyada, the original kohen, who had your position before in the Beit HaMikdash, he was like CEO of the Beit HaMikdash, but he was exiled, and took over his job. Tzvanya ben Maseo took over his job. He says, God appointed you chief CEO in the Beit HaMikdash. In charge of who? It was your job, any meshuganer, anyone meshuga, and dreaming, and prophesizing, anyone saying things that aren't in line, it was your job to put him in jail. Says, what's going on in Jerusalem down there? I put you in charge. You're supposed to make sure that crazy people don't, start speaking. And here's Yirmiyahu. He's sending now. If he's sending us letters here about what to say, I can imagine what he's saying over there. He says, why don't you get this guy in jail? Get rid of him. I put you in charge. Why aren't you guys doing your job? It's just amazing that this correspondence going between Bavel and Yerushalayim, the fact that these letters exist. But again, you can see how public opinion is still anti-Yirmiyahu. This whole approach that the future is in Bavel, and he's hated by everybody. Okay. In fact, it's the fact he wrote a letter that people are going to, they should build houses and plant trees. It's like so anti-Zionistic. He says, how can you let this guy write these letters from Bavel? I think I just lost my camera. No, I didn't. Okay. Yeah, I lost my camera. I'll try to fix it one more time. Every time I touch the wire, I lose it. Give me 1 second, and I'll try to... Yeah. Ask the question again. Describe a number of turning points. Oh, yeah. There's one turning point in the time of Yoakim. Fourth year of Yoakim is a turning point where they could tshuva before this Gzar Din about Bavel. That's the first one. And then... Okay, my camera should be back on again in a minute. Turn video on. There we go. Video should be back. The video should come up in a minute. One turning point is the fourth year of Yehoyakim. And the other turning point is... there we go. Okay. I'm sorry, here we go. Is the connection okay now? Or did I lose it? Okay, back on. Okay, good. Sorry about that. Considering it's on a wireless in the middle of nowhere, it's not so bad. The second turning point is in the time of Tzitzio. I'll try to put them in order. The first major event is the fourth year of Yehoyakim, where God says, Bavel's coming in. One last chance to do tshuva. If not, Bavel's coming and taking over. And you lose your sovereignty. Right? They didn't listen. They lose their sovereignty. Yehoyakim gets killed. Yehoyakim goes into Galut. Big tragedy. They can save the country once Bavel takes over, by staying subservient to Bavel, and that's why Tzidkiyahu is appointed king. The next big turning point is the fourth year of Tzidkiyahu, the 450 of Tzidkiyahu, when Tzidkiyahu decides to rebel against Bavel, and then God says, that's it, you're finished. Then the Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed now, the Shekhinah is leaving for good, and that's it, and the future now moves to Bavel. After Galut Yehoyakim, the future still could have been Yerushalayim. After Tzidkiyahu's decision, we're going to rebel against Bavel, the future now moves to Bavel. Tshuva during the time of Yehoyakim is talking about being kind to one another, being nice, all the things that Yirmiyahu says we'll see in the first 20 chapters. Tshuva in the 450 of Tzidkiyahu means giving into Bavel. You're right. That's true. That distinction is correct. Right, now go back to our last source, back on the source sheet. That was the last source sheet there. I sent another source sheet, which I wanted to conclude with. Just a little before it has to do with Parshat Tetzaveh. Open up source sheet. I don't know if you got it. The second one I sent. There's something simply very cute that worth taking a look at. If you look in Perek Yud Gimel Yirmiyahu, I want to give a little taste of the Perekim in Yirmiyahu. Next week we'll see how the books put together based on what we saw in Perek Lamed Vav today. But in Yirmiyahu, you can read along in the Hebrew. I'll just translate loosely in Perek Yud Gimel in the beginning. God tells Yirmiyahu, go buy Nezor Pishtim. And Nezor is like a sash or a belt. Pishtim is linen. But like in karate, when you have a black belt, a green belt, or a sash, it's a belt. It's not a belt that you need to hold your pants up. It's a belt that's there for show. A sash. It's a belt that makes you look good. It's called an Nezor. It shows how important you are. God tells Yirmiyahu, go buy yourself a new Nezor and linen and dry clean only. Don't put it in water. And then he tells Yirmiyahu, go take this Nezor. Go take a tool to the prot, either the Euphrates or probably more likely Nachal Prat, but he killed in his backyard. He tells him, let it get wet. Dig a hole somewhere and put it by a moist rock and leave it there for a while. Then several months or years later, he tells him, go back to that rock and go get that Ezor back and see what it's like. And now we're up to Pasuk Vav. And God tells him, go back and take it out. He gets his Ezor back and he can't even wear it to a bar mitzvah, to a bat mitzvah, he can't wear it to shul, he can't wear it even to a baseball game. It's totally worthless. Vayid Varsham Elai Vemor. Perfect set now. Kom Hashem Tzvot. Kach Hashchit Et Gon Yehuda Vet Gon Yerushalayim Harav. Hamaze Haram Ma'anim Lishmo Dvarai. Ochim Bishrut Libam. Lechur Achrei Elim Acherim. Lobdam Yishavot Lehem. Vayikei Zoraz Asher Luch Vachakol. You see, this nation who's not listening to me, following other gods, not following my laws, they'll be like this Ezor, who's not good for anything. And therefore, God's explaining why I'm getting rid of them, why I'm sending them into exile, and why I can't use them anymore. Now listen, Pasuk Yud Aleph is simply amazing. Ki kasher yidbak Ezor motnei ish, Yimiel gives an analogy here. Just like a person puts on an Ezor clothing, right? No, where's clothing? On his loins, to show who he is. If you understand this analogy, just like a person with clothing, so that the people who see him have a better understanding of who he is, a person is perceived by his clothing. In the same way, Yirmiyahu is saying, Am Yisrael is the clothing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Am Yisrael living in their land, having a Beit HaMikdash, serving God in the land of Israel, in a certain sense, it's like God's clothing. And especially supporting God, because God's a God you can't see, you can't hear, you can't touch. And how are people going to understand that God exists? How are they going to perceive Him? God's plan was He would have the nation keeping His laws, acting in a special way, talking about God, and acting in a special way in the land of Israel. And that would give the rest of mankind an understanding of what God is, what He's about. If this nation, who has a big temple, has a big mitzvah, and claiming we're God's people, but not acting in a way that makes God look good, and it happens on and on again. God says, I can't wear these people. It's just like the person says, I can't wear that clothing anymore. It makes me look terrible. It's worthless. I can't wear it to anything. God's saying the same thing. This nation, I can't use them anymore. They're useless. I gotta send them out of my country. They're making me look bad. I gotta send them into rehabilitation back into Bavel. So that's the thing. I brought it down in relation to the parsha Tetzaveh, where we talk about the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, what a clothing does to a person in general. There's two approaches to clothing. When a person, like the beginning of a Kohen, when you sort of wear this uniform, is when you wear the uniform, does it ennoble you, oh wow, you know, I look so cool, I look so neat, I'm so important now because I'm wearing these clothes? Or does it make you feel like a waiter, now I'm wearing a uniform, that means I have a buff? And in general, when you wear a uniform, no, by the way, this metaphor, these questions are a good one. If you take it too far, that's why Yirmiyahu is going to fix up in the next parak. If you take it too far, you can pretty much say God has given up on His people and they're finished. But he just says that, no, I'm sending him to take a look and destroy them. How he's going to use that same material and recycle it and make it something better again, that he doesn't use that in this analogy. But he'll say later on that he won't, he's not getting rid of them for good. They're only going there for 7 years is a long time, but maybe they use the same threads and make it redo the garment with the same thread. And when a person wears clothing, so how it affects it can affect the person who's wearing it in two ways. One, it reminds him he's a servant, he has a boss, and you know, he has a higher authority. On the other hand, it also sort of ennobles him and says, hey, well, I got this cool uniform I'm wearing. When a policeman puts on his uniform, does that make him feel real important about himself? Does that make him mind, oh, I'm a boss and I can't do whatever I want because, you know, I have a job to do, I have a boss. Now, the way to answer that, I think, which question in this chapter 13, this is already, it's not clear when it is, that we have to discuss. It looks like it's Tzidkiyahu. It seems like it's time to Tzidkiyahu, like the same time that we're talking here. How we order the Prakim from Perek Bet through Chaf, we'll talk about it a little bit next week. It gets complicated. Now, if you in clothing, like when you have a waiter, the waiter needs to know, has to wear the clothing, has to wear his uniform for two reasons. One is to remind him that he has a boss and he's working for somebody, but also so the people sitting down to eat know who to call when they want more salt in their soup, or when they want a spoon to eat their soup with, or when they need the steak recooked, or whatever they're going to need. And in that sense, if Am Yisrael is wearing these clothing, like the clothing wearing clothing, it's not only to notice they have a boss, but also to realize someone's looking at them. And that's what Yirmiyahu is saying here. When Am Yisrael recognizes that they're representing God, that should affect how they're acting, how they're talking. And this idea that I go back to that source sheet, we'll conclude with that. The same words that Yirmiyahu uses, the exact same words at the end of the Moshe Rabbeinu's speech in Sefer Dvarim. But in a nutshell, it all goes back to Har Sinai, in Brit Sinai, where God told Am Yisrael, if you keep my laws and my brit, Atem Tilim Amlechet Tonim V'Goy Kadosh, you'll be a nation representing me. And that understanding that Am Yisrael is a nation representing God, and it's because of that, it's like clothing, that the person wearing that clothing has to make sure the clothing he's wearing makes them look good, and it's sort of useless if the clothing doesn't, if the whole purpose of a certain piece of clothing is only to make you look good, and it's not working, then the person wearing it's going to do something about it. The solution, what Yirmiyahu is trying to explain to the people, and that was the point we ended with last week's year, that's the question, is what's this need for Babylonian sovereignty? What's so important about it? Is that saying, I warned you over and over again, I have to do something drastic to make sure you get this point clear. But there's something, you can't have a Beit HaMikdash representing God. You can't have this big building, and you can't wave this flag that I'm God's people, unless your day-to-day behavior is solid, right, and sound, and the two have to go together. And Yirmiyahu simply, for hundreds of years, since the time, even for sure since Yishayo, then they didn't give the same message. The people simply don't want to hear it, they don't want to buy it. They're just into the Mikdash, into the ritual, the Korbanot, and especially in the beginning, they're making it some on a fast day, they're making it some on a, when there's no rain. They're as religious as could be, but still the way they're behaving has got so upset, he says, we need to send them out to Galut. The big question is, does Galut work? That's something I have to talk about later on. And anyway, we'll stop here. If you have any questions, we can take them real quick. If not, we're going to... Next week, I'll meet someone back in Israel and back with a normal connection. Okay, anyway, have a nice post-Purim week, and enjoy Parshas Parah. And next week, we'll try to... we'll do the fun stuff in Yirmiyahu. We'll do bits and pieces of the book, but we're going to try and tie all the loose ends together and close up one big topic and introduce a second one. If you have a chance for next week, try to go through just the headers of every parak in the book and notice which ones have headers. And try to see which ones have dates, which ones don't. And try to get a feel for how the book is built, and we're going to discuss that next week. Because the book's really hard to put together, but we'll try to make sense out of it. Okay, and bye-bye from L.A.